Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens for the second hour. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, and just in the last hour, I announced that my Brandywine Garden Extravaganza Tour, which is June 13th through the 17th with Sally Cunningham, the garden expert. She's amazing. To the most beautiful gardens in America's garden capital. Well, this week they announced the Philadelphia Flower Show, when it was going to be held, and they did that on Thursday. And guess what? It's going on at the same time as my Brandywine Garden Tour. So we are adding on an extra day before, and it's going to coincide with that. So I am over the moon about getting to go to the Philadelphia Garden Show and the Brandywine Garden Tour. So you can find out more information about this trip and the oldest and longest running flower garden show in the United States on my website, she-consulting.com. So a new segment of the program is called My Dirty Word of the Day. And I give you definitions and words that you may not be familiar with, but you hear them all the time in horticulture. So today's dirty word is rhizome. R-H-I-Z-O-M-E. And rhizome is derived from an ancient Greek word called rhizoma, meaning a mass of roots. But rhizomes aren't roots at all. That's the interesting thing. Like bulbs and corms and tubers, rhizomes are an underground stem. Okay, and they use rhizomes, the plants do, for food and storage and reproduction. So a rhizome is a type of a plant stem situated either at the soil surface or underground that contains nodes from which the roots and shoots originate. Rhizomes are unique in that they grow perpendicular. They don't grow up and down. They permit new shoots to grow up out of the ground, though. When separated, each piece of rhizome is capable of producing a new plant. So when we talk about the food storage, rhizomes store nutrients. And that includes the carbohydrates and proteins until the plant requires them for the growth of the new shoots or to survive during the wintertime. Farmers use vegetative reproduction to propagate new plants such as hops and ginger and various grass species. So some rhizomes are even eaten. They're edible, like ginger and turmeric. All right, so by far the most dominant type of rhizome is the underground rhizome. And that includes the Venus flytrap, Chinese lantern, poison oak, hops, alstroemeria. Alstroemeria, I call the Publix lily. Okay, when we buy those bouquets and you see those freckled little lilies in the floral bouquets at Publix, well, those are alstroemerias, and they're native to Peru. Bamboo, lily in the valley, and canna lilies. Now, also, too, trumpet creepers, nandina, and epimediums have rhizomes as well. But many plants that have rhizomes are weeds, like Bermuda grass and Johnson grass, then also purple nutsedge. So while most rhizomes are situated underground, some plants have rhizomes that grow at the soil level or above. Plants like ferns, macho ferns, and irises. However, there's some rare plant species that form multiple tiered rhizomes in a complex network such as giant horsetails. So rhizomes is your dirty word of the day, and it means a underground storage for food storage, part of the plant stem, underground plant stem. So you can find all of my dirty words that I provide each week, along with the last week of September, or this month's October, what to do in your landscape, my design tips, articles, and more on betterlawns.com. Now, we have Dave in Melbourne. Good morning, Dave. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning. I've got a question about a grapefruit tree. I'm planting my very first grapefruit tree, and I wanted to find out, you know, how wide a hole I should dig for it. It's in a 30-gallon container. It's about 9 foot high.
Okay.
What do you think? How big should the hole be?
I would do it about 36 inches. Okay. Now, it just depends on what kind of soil. What kind of soil do you have?
Oh, gosh. You know, I can't tell you. I'm over here in Melbourne, so I'm about, 6 miles inland from the ocean.
Right. So that's pretty good. Do you have earthworms in the soil? Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Great. Okay. So that means you have mesic soils. Okay. That means you have moist soils. It's not too dry. It's not too wet. And so that's a good condition for citrus. And you know they like it dry, so don't overwater it. But the 30 gallons, I would go out, put it in the ground, and then come out about 6 to 8 inches outside of your root ball and dig that up. And then plant it. So it doesn't need to be twice the width. You can just do it the same width, about a foot wider, but you want to make sure you get the depth right. And I would plant. Go ahead.
I'm going to say the depth is, you say 36 inches?
No. So the width is, so whatever your 30-gallon pot is, I would come out 6 to 8 inches outside that. Okay?
Okay. All right.
All right. Now the depth is going to be the depth of the root ball. But I want you to make sure that you're not planting it too deep. Do not plant it level. I want the grapefruit tree to be 2 to 3 inches taller than the level of the ground. And then you want to put a tree ring of dirt around it so that the water goes into the base.
Okay, good. And then after I get it planted, I read that I should start fertilizing about 3 weeks after planting. Is that correct?
That's correct. Right now. Now's a good time to be fertilizing your citrus trees. So you wait until you see new growth on it and then go ahead and fertilize. Now you can also put a little bit of slow release. I definitely mean slow release fertilizer, not quick release, in the hole, but you can do that and that'll be fine.
And how much fertilizer should I put if I'm going to do it on top after in 3 weeks? How much should I put out there?
Okay, I want you to read the label. It depends on what you buy. Okay, the label's going to tell you exactly how much. But now here, I just want you to understand: more is not better.
Okay,
more is not better. So you want to just follow the label. Make sure your citrus is watered well before you fertilize, and then water it well afterwards.
Okay, one more question for
sure.
You. I'm really curious. It's about a easily a 6 foot tree. I'm just curious about how old the tree probably is at this point in its life.
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I wish I could tell you. Sometimes, okay. It just depends on how well the tree was taken care of, because they can, you know, have growth spurts and, or not get fertilizer. So they may be a small tree, could be a larger tree because it got really good, you know, care while it was growing up. So I don't know how old it is.
All right. And I'm putting it, in an area where I have some avocados. Is that's not an issue, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Okay,
thank you so much, Dave. Great question.
All right, Teresa.
All right. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We have Jo Ellen Myers Sharp, a great garden expert and garden communicator, coming on, and she's going to tell us how she designs her beautiful fall containers. Stay tuned. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens and Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And, you know, this is the time of the year that we like to change out our containers and get ready for the fall. I was at a community and I just this week, and they had all these pumpkins and beautiful Halloween ornaments, and everybody was getting into the holiday spirit. And I just think it's wonderful that we have such a great holiday spirit here in Florida, even though the temperatures are still warm. So Jo Ellen Myers Sharp, she is a garden communicator, container garden expert, and a 25-year award-winning veteran of print journalism. And she owns the company Write For You, which is a freelance writing and editing business. She joins me right now. Good morning, Jo Ellen. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. How are you today?
I am great. Jo Ellen, how was your summer?
Hot.
Yeah. Well, you say that to Floridians and we're going, yeah, hold my beer.
Well, it really was. I mean, we had several days in the 90s, and that's, you know, we might have one or two, but I think we had like almost a week and a half of 90s and no rain. So, you know, we deal with the same climate issues as a lot of people.
Right. Well, you know, I just think one of the big differences is that not a lot of people up north in the northern sections of the country have air conditioners. So when it gets up that high, it's just kind of brutal weather.
Yes. I know, and I didn't really realize that a lot of people in California don't have air conditioning, which surprised me. But yeah, I mean, I fortunately, thank you, I have air conditioning, Mr. Carrier. But I worry a lot about the schools.
Yeah.
You know, which are not air conditioned, and you know, as adults, we don't want to work in a building that's not air conditioned.
No, I agree. It was hot in here this morning.
And I've always kind of worried about that you know, it's just uncomfortable. But even when I was in school, I can remember the great big windows on the side walls that you would open up in the summertime, or you know, in spring and fall to kind of cool things off because. You know, I went to a small Catholic school, and that's what we had.
That's exactly. I remember that very well in my Catholic school upbringing. So now fall weather is coming. You guys have it up there, but here in Florida, we're starting to you know, in the next few weeks, going to get cooler temperatures, much cooler. And how do we change our containers? How does the fall weather change us?
Well, here, you know, I use a lot of the same plants that I'm sure Floridians use. I would say this year, and I've done, you know, I do all the pots at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. And so this year I kept it really, really simple. And I used chard, the rainbow chards, as a centerpiece in the big round containers. And I just carpeted around them with some fall-colored pansies.
Aww.
And, you know, there were a couple reasons for that. One, we'll do a change out in winter, probably in, you know, late November, early December. And those plants will last till then here, even if we get really cold temperatures. I mean, chard is like, I don't know, it's just the real soldier. I think you could put it in the spring, you know, where it's still very colorful and let it go all summer here. And it's edible, which is kind of nice to let people know that. And, of course, the pansies are edible. I mean, you know, you don't want them to eat the whole container.
Right.
And then the other thing we do is, you know, you can get those really big mums in the garden centers and the really big cabbages and kales, like the 9-inch size. And those are really too big for most container applications. And so my grower grows 4 inches, four-inch cabbages and 4-inch mums, which are much easier to work in, you know, most residential containers. The 8-inch stuff can go in, like, big commercial pots or something like that. But for more, or in the ground, but for more, you know, residential-type containers, I mean, they're just, too big, and you know, mums are brittle, and you know, they're just hard to manage that way.
Right. So, getting smaller sizes is preferred.
I think so too. And you can be, you know, really creative. Work in some time to maybe be, you know, like your little slower or your little spiller. And also, you know, I mean, you know, down there you can probably use. Oh, maybe like some Calibrachoas, you know, Million Bells.
Oh, yeah, those will do lovely. They've got the fall colors in there.
And they sort of market them this time of year in fall colors, which is nice. And they're, you know, fairly cold weather tolerant. And, you know, they're a nice filler, I think. They also spill a little bit, but they're a nice filler.
Well, then, well you know, mentioned you can, the spiller, you know, and the fillers, Joellen. What is the theme of that? I love the just it's a little click, you know, three little words, and it tells people how to design aesthetically with containers. And you mentioned spillers, but tell us the mantra.
Okay, well, the thriller in this, in the example we're talking about, the thriller would be the chard, because it's the taller plant and it's, you know, the dominant plant in the container. And then fillers would be maybe the, you know, the 4-inch cabbages or the 4-inch mums, and, you know, how you arrange that. I usually like to pull the 4-inch cabbage toward the front center because, you know, it looks kind of like a big rose.
It does.
You know, it's very attractive. And then on the side of that, I put the spillers, which, you know, in my case would be some petunias planted really, or not petunias, pansies planted close to the edge, or some thyme, or something that's going to just naturally, you know, fall down the side of the pot. So that would be your spiller.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's an easy thing to do, and then you can always play with it. You know, like maybe make things, like off to one side rather than centered. And you always want to figure out how your pot is viewed. Are you viewing your pot just, you know, from one side, you know, sort of straight on, or is it a pot that people can walk around and see all sides of it? And if it's a walk-around pot that people see all sides, you can do the same combination but just put the chard right smack in the middle of it. In the ones that are facing, that you just face, that are up against something, you put the chard in the back. And so, you know, that's it.
That's wonderful. So now, what kind of soil is best for containers? What do you use?
Well, I use, I use a professional potting mix that I get from my grower a lot, which is, I think it's SoGrow. I think that's the name of it. But for most people, you want to buy the, you know, a high quality potting mix. You don't want to use potting soil because it's too heavy. And potting mix is specially formulated to be lighter weight and to help with drainage. And so, you know, speaking of drainage, you always want your pots to have drainage holes. If you've got like your antique Chinese pot that you don't want to put holes in, put another pot on top of that, so that you can sort of double pot that and plant in the top pot.
Would turn the pot over and put it down at the bottom and then put your pot on top of that, and that would provide better drainage.
Yeah, I mean, you just need to kind of work with that.
Yeah. So now what kind of fertilizers do containers need?
Well, they're a little bit on the, hungry side when it comes to fertilizers. And this is really in the spring, summer, and fall. It's maybe less critical where I am in the fall because these, you know, are there in the 6 to 8 weeks range, you know, before we're changing them out for Christmas or for, you know, holiday stuff. But I recommend just a regular water-soluble fertilizer. If you're really trying to boost blooms, you want that middle number to be a little bit higher than the other numbers.
Right.
But there are lots of brands out there that work for that. Some brands, like Espoma, which I really, really like.
I like Espoma, too. Yeah, I love Espoma.
They're a natural fertilizer. They're processed and made in New Jersey in a solar energy factory. I mean, those are things that you know, once you get into gardening, you start thinking about all those things.
Of course.
Because gardening puts a lot of trash in the, you know, stream with all the pots and plastic that we use.
There you go, Joe. So tell everybody where we can find your beautiful fall containers.
Well, you can find them at thehoosiergardener.com. And I appreciate your going there. And I do have an award-winning monthly newsletter, which you can sign up for if you would like to do that.
Yes.
And I'm on Facebook at Hoosier Gardener. And, I hope to hear from all of you. This is just so nice to talk to Teresa. She's now a director of GardenCom, so she's giving back to our community.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Joelle, and it's wonderful to talk to you. Hope to see you soon. Thank you.
Teresa, thank you so much.
Bye-bye. That's Joelle Meyer-Sharp with HoosierGardening.com, and you can go see her beautiful containers on her website and get some inspiration there. You have a gardening question you need answers to? You can call me at 1-888-45-LAWNS or text 23680. We have plenty of text messages coming in. We need some phone calls. I'm Teresa Watkins. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you missed any of today's show, you will be able to hear it. We're on Audio Boom, iHeartRadio, iTunes, and then also Amazon, and then about 12 different podcast networks and websites. So you can just Google Better Lawns and Gardens and podcast, and it'll come up. Or you can go to my website, and on my podcast page, on my On the Air, you'll see that link, and you can scroll down, and you will see the Better Lawns and Gardens radio show. And you can listen to the podcast there. That's where they're all stacked. You can also go to betterlawns.com, our website, and see them there. That will be that'll be where you can find all of the podcasts. You can hear them at your own convenience. You don't have to get up early in the morning. You can be like Ed and sleep in, and you don't need to get up early and listen to us if you're not a morning person. I'm not a morning person, but I love coming in and answering your garden questions. So if you'd like to give me a call, 1-888-455-2967. If you're in the garden area, we'd love to hear from you. And you can text me at 23680. I'm having an interesting conversation with someone who's texting me a lot of information. And I am going to research what she or he is talking about, and we'll bring it up in another show. I have another text that says, I loved your explanation of the rhizomes. Keep up the good work. And then, Lizzie, we had a caller who called in during the break.
Yes, ma'am. He wanted to let you know that listening to your show brought back memories for whenever him and his wife lived up north, and they used to have a garden. And I think he said his wife had passed 4 years ago. However, he really enjoyed listening, and it just brought back just waves of memory of whenever they used to have gardens. So he was like, thank you for that.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love that. You know, gardening does bring back a lot of memories. And so some of us growing up, you know, my mom always had a white rose. She had six children. She didn't have time to plant, but she always had a white rose bush in the yard. And I remember that. And we would go on hikes and everything in the forest, and she would point out different flowers and different type of vegetables. She would point those out in the garden. And so I just, childhood memories of gardening is fun. Now, my children have childhood memories of weeding the garden, and that wasn't fun. They didn't like that at all. And they grumbled the whole time they were weeding. But I will tell you, when they had children of their own, and my grandchildren, my beautiful grandchildren, that they'll call me and Teresa Jean will say, Mom, it is so important for them to weed. And it's just doing them a lot of good. So I appreciate that. You know, those are good garden memories. So I can't find who's your gardener whipping. Oh, okay. So let me just give Jo Ellen Myers-Sharp's website. It's not Who's Your Garden, WH. It's Hoosier. Hoosier. So like in Indiana. So a resident of Indiana, H-O-O-S-I-E-R, Hoosier Gardening, GARDENING.com, Hoosier Gardening. Okay? And so that will really help. Or you could just Google Jo Ellen Myers-Sharp, and Hoosier Garden will come up. And you can see her beautiful fall containers. And it's just been such a joy to know her and get to know her. She's got great garden expertise. So for those of you who are snowbirds and who come down here from Indiana, you're going to want to check out her newsletter up there when you go back home, because you're going to start to come down here right now. So now, what should you be doing in your garden right now? And I'm talking about this because we have no phone calls. All right, 1-888-455-2967, 1-888-455-2967. Lizzie is here waiting for you. And if you want to, you can text me at 23680. So a couple of things to remember. You're going to start to see the rye seed showing up in stores. Okay, that's rye seed to put out for grass, but it's too hot to do it right now. So don't put it out. If you want to get it, just you can buy it and just leave it in a cool place. You don't want anything that's too hot, and just leave it. And then you're going to want to plant it when the temperatures start getting into the 60s. Okay, so that's going to be November. The end of November, you can put that ryegrass out, that ryegrass seed. Right now is a time to be fertilizing your citrus trees. This is the last time you want to fertilize. And you can just use 666-888-1010. They're not fancy eaters of fertilizer or users of fertilizer. But you can spray with micronutrients too as well. They do like that. This is the last time this month to fertilize your shrubs and trees. Okay. You remember, we got to put the fertilizer down 3 months before a stressful period. And then also delay fruit tree pruning until December and January. Some of the fruit trees are starting to, their leaves are starting to change color. And that will, kind of think, oh, I can cut it back now. No, you don't want to cut it back. Let's go to Gene and Stewart. He has a question. Good morning, Gene. Thank you for calling in. Thank you so much for calling in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As usual, enjoying your show.
Thank you.
Every Saturday. I have been interested in orchids, and right now I have a Cattleyas?
Yeah, Cattleyas. Yes, very good.
Which is what I perceived to be, up until I got interested, to be the orchid. I didn't realize there was 25 other different kinds. Anyway, it's in full bloom, and it's in a pot that is overly crowded. And my question is, once these bloom, will they ever bloom again?
Yes, they will continue to keep blooming every year.
Okay.
So, they're not something you want to throw away. And orchids, the pot, what kind of pot is it in?
It's in a ceramic, probably about eight inches. Uh-huh. But it's also in there about 12 others.
Right. Okay, so there's 12 other orchids in that one pot?
Well, yeah, 12 other. It's obviously sprouted over the years and just kept crowding out.
Okay, so it really likes where you have it. Okay, so,
I'm fixing to separate them and repot them.
Okay, excellent. All right, you'll want to wait till after it finishes blooming to do that. And you know that if you don't want to, are you going to keep it inside or do you want to put it outside?
No, they're outside. Please.
Oh, they are outside. Okay, great. So you can use the porcelain containers again, or you can use the baskets and, the moss and just keep them. They like to have their roots hanging down. There's no problem. You don't have to keep it in a pot. So, yeah, you can.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're epiphytes. They don't need a pot. They don't need soil. They don't. I mean, they love the wood bark and the nutrients that they get from the air and from the fertilizer that you put on it. They're wonderful. If you will email me, Gene, I can send you a publication on how to repot it.
Oh, I got a book.
Oh, wonderful.
Sort of look after and.
Okay, super.
The hardest thing is to, to my mind, is to get them stand up once they're in all the stuff that doesn't have any binding to it. You know, it's just sitting in loose.
Right. Well, you can just use wires, you can go to the store. The nurseries will have them, the little wires to hold them straight up.
You know, these clips that go across.
And you can just, put little butterfly clips on them and hold them straight up.
Okay. And then is there something that they won't bloom for a year if you start separating?
Okay, so orchids, Cattleyas, they usually, orchids in general, like a 20-degree temperature change. So they usually bloom as you're going into the winter time, when that temperature drops from, 95 degrees down into the 70s. And then in the springtime, when it goes up from the 70s back into the 90s. So if you're fertilizing correctly and they're nice and happy, you will see them continuous bloom at least once a year, sometimes twice a year.
Mine are supposed to bloom in the spring because down here we have a March orchid show.
There you go. That's when you have to have it ready, right?
That's when I buy.
Okay, you need to tell it that, all right? Thank you so much for calling, Gene, and for listening. I appreciate it. We've got questions on amarilla leaves and Haas avocados I'm going to get to in the next break. This is your time to call 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Let's go right to our text messages. If you have a question, this is the last time you can call. This is our last segment. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. If you missed any of today's show, you can go on to betterlawns.com and you can listen to it right as soon as it's uploaded. Okay, so this is just so to my heart, this question. How do I keep lovebirds from eating my amarilla leaves? And are they also nibbling on the bulbs? Well, lover grasshoppers are the third worst creatures in the world. Okay, I just will tell you that. You can kill them without any bad karma at all. You get points if you get them in the road with your car. And so, yes, they are eating your leaves. You're going to find them. How do you keep them from eating it? Well, you got to just be on the ball. And in the springtime, late March, April, they're going to start hatching around your amaryllis. And they are looking right now to lay eggs around your amaryllis right now. And so kill them when you can find them. But next year, you got to be really proactive. And when you see them hatching, they're little black, little insects, grasshoppers. And you want to spray them then. You can spray them with 7 or an insecticide and kill them when they're little. When they're grown up and they look like little rainbows and they're so beautiful, people say, no, they're not beautiful. You have to kill them. And you can only do that by crushing them, cutting them in half, which is really what I like to do. And so you want to get them now. No, they're not eating your bulbs, but they want to lay their eggs next to a plant that's going to be good eating when they hatch next year. So that's a great question. All right. And then so somebody asked, how do you go about growing a Haas avocado here in Central Florida? Well, it's really easy. You want to buy a grafted tree, okay, because if you grow them from seed, it's going to be 7 to 10 years before you get a really good harvest. And so you can buy a 2 to 4 foot tall one in a 3 gallon container, which won't be expensive. They grow fast here in Florida. You want to plant them in full sun in an area that has good drainage. And you want to plant them at least 23 to 30 feet away from buildings and electrical wires. They do get tall here. And so if you want to keep it, you can keep it pruned at 15 feet. And that way you can get a hold of the avocados very easily because you're going to have to pull them off. Avocados do not ripen on the tree. Okay, so you want to pull them off and you harvest them yourself. So you want to keep your tree low if you're going to be eating a lot of them. And also, too, you want to make sure that you're in an area where you're, Central Florida is a good area for growing avocados. But every once in a while, we're going to get a cold snap that's going to damage the avocado tree. So if you're planting an avocado now, make sure that it's, of a size that you get a frost blanket and cover it with a frost blanket so it doesn't freeze out. Okay, that's a really great question. Thank you for texting. Then the next question is, I planted tomatoes and pepper plants in a raised garden with organic soil and the plants are dying. What am I doing wrong? I believe the organic soil has time-release nutrients. Well, soil is organic, okay? And so I would just have to ask is how often you're watering. And if you're fertilizing, depends on, what kind of soil you use and what kind of nutrients it has in it. It may not need as much fertilizer with that fertilizer-enriched soil, but it could need more. But it sounds like it's a watering issue, either too much or not enough. Okay, so I would check the watering. Your tomatoes and peppers should go another month or so, but it's going towards the end of their time. So if you got a really good harvest from them, then you're not going to, you don't necessarily need to keep them around longer. this is the end of their seasoning, and we'll wait and plant them next year, okay, in the springtime. So if they're still producing, you still got tomatoes and peppers on them, you can go ahead and leave them in the raised bed, but they're right at the end of their season, so you might not be doing anything wrong, okay? Just check the watering. That's what I would do. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text at 23680. My October newsletter is going to be coming out the first of the week. It's going to tell you what to do in your lawn. It's also going to give you some really great design tips and landscaper malpractice. I have the column in there, landscaper malpractice. Subtitle is How to Know When to Fire Your Landscaper. Okay, and so you can go back on my website, she-consulting.com, and you can read my past columns, my past newsletters. You can sign up to receive it on my website. It is free. I do not spam. I do not sell your information. And it's just me staying in touch with you, letting you know what to do in your lawn each month out of the year. Okay, and it also talks about current events. So it'll have information about my Brandywine Garden Extravaganza Tour that we get to go to the Philadelphia Flower Show on. You're going to want to check that out. And also, too, you can check out my books, A Gardener's Compendium. Volume 3 is out, so I've got Volume 1, Volume 2, and Volume 3 on my website. Real quick, let's go to Eileen and Stuart. She has cocoa plum hedges, which I love.
Yes, I love them too. Good morning.
Good morning, Eileen.
My question is, I've got good growth on the top of my cocoa plum, but the bottoms are covered with, like, the leaves are covered with black. And you can get rid of it if you wet it and rub each one of them. It clears off.
Right.
And I'm guessing it's a fungus, but I'm hoping, because I have such good growth at the top, that I can do something to make the bottom leaves look a little better.
Okay. So what you have is sooty mold. It's called honeydew sooty mold, but it is a symptom rather than the problem. Okay. So it's a symptom that you have an insect issue. So now the insect issue could be aphids, it could be white flies. And so if you go over to the hedge, I want you to take your hand and just kind of flutter the leaves a little bit, and you may see a little bit of white moths or little white insects coming out of it, and those would be the white flies. So you need to get insecticidal soap or oil. You can use neem oil or an insecticide on it, and you want to spray the top and the bottom of the leaves all the way down. Okay, and so that's going to get rid of the insect issue, which will get rid of the sooty mold eventually for you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're
I
welcome.
I appreciate your help.
Okay, so what I wanted to say also, Eileen, is that the you want to make sure you're fertilizing them on a regular basis so that they're healthy. And then when you cut any of the areas that are brown, cut them back diagonally so that you have a diagonal cut on the branches, and they should flush out and get thicker for you. Okay?
Okay, so diagonal cut, and make sure, like I do... I don't remember if it's Osmocote or something like that, but I heard you say earlier 10-10-10 you can do on your hedges.
Well, that's for citrus trees. I mentioned that for citrus trees, but I would use, just a shrub fertilizer is going to be fine. All right?
Okay, thank you very much. You have a good rest of the day.
You too, Eileen. Eileen is my favorite cousin's name, so I love that name. So thank you so much. This is, if you'd like to have more information, you can go to my website, she-consulting.com. If you would like to listen to the podcast or previous podcasts, you can go to betterlawns.com, or you can check out Amazon, iHeartRadio, iTunes, or also to my website or Audio Boom. You can go there and listen to all of those. I want to thank our guest today, Ed Thralls. He's the extension agent emeritus. He's retired, for his fall update and tips on growing the great pumpkin. Also, thank you to Jo Ellen Meyer Sharp, the Hoosier Gardener, who plants the most beautiful fall containers. Thank you. Check out my Brandywine Garden Extravaganza Tour next June on my website, she-consulting.com. Already, I can tell you we have a fun group of the nicest people going on this trip. You're going to have a great time. They're all garden lovers. Thank you, Lizzie, for producing the show. I so appreciate you. And a big thank you to all our callers and texters. All right. You want to join Lizzie and I next week for more Better Lawns and Gardens? I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. See you next week.
You've been listening to a best of Better Lawns and Gardens. We will be back and live next week. You can catch all of our podcasts on betterlawns.com.